Well, welcome to the third installment of this mini kind of What's Right, What's Wrong series that we've been doing here and there throughout the summer. And part of the point of this series or genre of teaching, so to speak, is to highlight that not everything in life is necessarily, you know, so black and white and cut and dry or right or wrong, where you're kind of clearly on one side or the other. Life is more complex than that, and we need wisdom to patiently sort through what we hear on a regular basis, the messages that we're constantly told, the literally hundreds of messages a day that we receive through different media, as well as just the voices of people. And, you know, our society suffers from too much information and not enough wisdom and discernment to process that information and understand it. And if we're not careful, if we don't examine them, we can quite easily get led astray from a biblical view of the world and ourselves and our human condition. And today's statement is specifically about the human condition and the things we're often told. And one of the most common or ubiquitous teachings that's kind of out there that we hear a lot is today's statement that we're going to look at, which is just be you. Or variations of it would be, you know, you be you, or you do you. Or be true to yourself, maybe would have been kind of more 10 years ago or so, but a similar kind of statement. And so, you know, I see this and I hear this and have been told this so many times. It's a very common and popular thing to say because it makes everyone feel good, right? The person saying it feels good about telling people to, you know, just be you. And the person hearing it feels really good because they can kind of think, yeah, I don't need to be anyone or anything I don't want to be. I just need to be true to myself and who I am. So this is a common statement. So we want to filter it through kind of the discernment of the scriptures and what the Bible says and look at what's right about this statement. What are some of the good things in here that we can affirm, and what's wrong about that statement, or what do we want to be careful about? So let's first start with what's right about this statement. So although this teaching can be very deceiving, there's also some good truth in it if filtered correctly. The beautiful truth of the Bible is that there's only one you. That you are uniquely designed and created. You are, Psalm 139, fearfully and wonderfully made. You were knit together by God in your mother's womb by a master artist. You are, according to Ephesians 2:10, God's masterpiece, his work of art. You are supposed to be the unique person God called you to be and designed you to be, and you should delight in who God has created you to be. There is no other you. There is no one else who can bless the world in the same way that you can in your unique way. There is no one who can worship God in the same way you do in the creative ways that God has designed you to worship him. No one can be you. And God loves to watch you be you and to bless others the way that only you can and to worship him the way only you can. You are deeply loved by God, whose affections for you are beyond what you can possibly imagine. And so we should feel deeply loved and confident in who God has designed us to be, that you are no mistake, that God brought you into this world for a reason. And we should all really relish in that, soak in that. And in fact, you know, a lot of our problems and issues in life and even some of society stem from not realizing just how deeply loved we are by God and accepting that love, no matter what we've done, who we've been in the past, the mistakes we've made. He is a God willing to meet us right where we are, willing to forgive us, wanting us to be who we are called to be. And what often gets lost in, you know, the great commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself is that we should actually love ourself. There are three things we should love in that passage: God, neighbor, and self. Because if we can't love ourselves, we're actually not able to then love well our neighbor and God. Because when we are able to rejoice in who God has made us, then we are able to bless others and love others in the way he's designed us to be. So there's some good, even biblical truth in saying you be you or be true to yourself, if it means we are rejoicing in the unique person God has called us to be, the unique talents and abilities he's given us, and rejoicing in the fact that we aren't all the same and we are called to serve and worship God in unique ways that he's designed us to be. But of course, there's also some intense deception behind this statement as well, and to its appeal. So let's briefly talk about what's wrong with this statement of you be you, or you do you, or be true to yourself. The truth of the Bible, in many ways, is that we don't want to be true to ourselves. For we are sinners in need of grace, right? I don't want to necessarily do me or be me in my sinful state. I want to be transformed by the grace of God. And I want to be, honestly, like Jesus, who is somebody that is not really like me, but is what I want to be. Listen to what Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that Hannah read. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. I mean, the truth of the scriptures is that, honestly, we're not that great. We're not the most awesome person in the world. We are awful sinners in need of grace and transformation. And that's where this message of the world of kind of you do you or be true to yourself is off base. Is it teaches us we don't need to be transformed by the grace of God. You know, we're good just the way we are. And unfortunately, that kind of flies in the face of the teaching of sin, human depravity, and our need for grace and transformation in our lives. The Bible teaches that our hearts are deceitful above all things and beyond cure, and that we don't even know it or realize it. We're so blind to it, Jeremiah 17. And if I'm left to myself, kind of being me or being true to myself and following all of my own inclinations, well, that likely leaves me as self-centered, greedy, vengeful, bitter, unforgiving, lustful, prideful, looking out only for me as number one, and doing whatever I need to take care of myself first, to have what I need, to seek my own leisure and comfort above all else or anyone else. That's what happens if left simply to my sinful state without the transformation of God's grace. I am a sinner in need of grace, redemption, and transformation. I don't want to be me in a way. I want to be transformed into being more like Jesus. And the world, you know, will often tell us, well, hey, you know, if you feel this way, then just do it. Just go for it. If that's what you feel, then, you know, you be you. But that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is often, if you feel this way, it might be your sinful, deceitful nature, and you might need to seek transformation through the Spirit of God. And if, you know, we're in a church or faith community, just to constantly be told how awesome, great, and perfect we are, and not to be changed and transformed one bit, then really, I mean, what's the point? Right? I mean, I get the appeal. It's easy. There's no cross. There's no crucifying of the flesh. No one is going to, you know, challenge you. And it's easier. It's a easier road for everyone involved, because no one has to have any standards or challenge anyone. But is that really what we want? Is that really why we're here? Or do we want to live a more holy life, a life more pleasing to God, which may means we may have to be challenged over who we are? And it's why our vision statement as a church is what it is, because it's something that we can actually never fully achieve. It's on over there. Right? That to be fully devoted children of God, fully mature in Jesus Christ, and fully alive in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm none of those things yet. I can't say I'm fully devoted and mature and alive with the Spirit, but that's hopefully the direction I'm moving or want to be moved and moving others to as well. But that's going to take some challenging of just being myself. And so we can't just say, hey, you be you, you do you, I'll do me, and we'll just kind of all sing kumbaya together. That's a false gospel. There's no depth to that. There's no call towards something greater in that. So let me give you an alternative statement to live by than just be you. Rather than trusting in yourself, being strong in who you want to be, trust in the transforming grace of God and be strong in that. And this is Paul's advice to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, you then, my son, just be you. No. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's advice. Not, hey, Timothy, just be you. Be yourself. No, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says in the previous chapter of that book that God has called us, chapter 1, verse 9, to a holy life. And in order to live that life, we must be strong in our, we must be strong not in ourselves, but in God's transforming grace. And this is not a one-time thing, but an ongoing, even daily strengthening that we need. The Greek word here is endunamoi. That's not really important for you to know. But the idea, the kind of grammatical construction here behind this is that this is a continuous, ongoing practice or challenge. It basically says or means at all times or always or continually be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. That is something we have to renew day by day. I'm going to be strong in God's grace. Not strong in myself, but God's grace. And the verb here is actually in the passive, meaning it's something that is done to us. We can't manufacture it by ourselves to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. It comes from God giving us that strength. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. And this word here is interesting, of be strong or power. It appears lots in the New Testament. The dunamis word, you know, kind of the way to remember that it means power is, you know, dynamite or that kind of thing. It's a key word in the Bible, but here it's an inward power. It says en, kind of dunamoi, that has an outward source in Christ Jesus. It's this inward power that comes from an outside source. And the Ephesians 6 passage about the armor of God has a similar teaching when it says in 6:10, finally, be strong, not in ourselves, in the Lord and his mighty power. not be strong in ourselves, not just be you and go for it, but in the Lord and his power and God's grace that transforms us. I mean, Paul regularly teaches, such as in 2 Corinthians 4:12, that we are to put to death our life of the flesh so that we might bring life to others and the Spirit might work through us. That's a different message than just be you. Paul says, in a way, if you want to bring life to others, actually you need to put you to death so that we can bring life to others. So yes, rejoice in who God has made you. Absolutely. You are no mistake. God has uniquely designed you and created you with a purpose in mind. Rejoice in that. Soak in that. But also, he has called us to be transformed. To not continually be the same person, but to be changed from glory to glory, hopefully evermore reflecting God's image in us.